Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Applied Human Design podcast. My name is Heather, and I will be your host today, this evening, this afternoon. And as always, I'm so happy that you are here spending some time with me on this beautiful day on planet Earth. You may be wondering, did I get tickets to the Taylor Swift show? Well, if you don't follow me on Instagram, then you may not know that after a very traumatic 2 days, 13 plus hours sitting in that waiting lounge for the Australian Eras Tour tickets, watching people get through and cut the line multiple times while neither me or like the 8-9 people at one point who I had also sitting in that queue waiting to try and get me tickets, managed to get through. So it's very sad. I believe that ticket scalpers are the devil incarnate, and I will not take that back. I don't care how extreme it is. So I will not be paying, you know, ridiculous amounts for a ticket that is meant to be sold at no more than 10% of face value, as is the law for Victoria, where I'm from, where I wanted to get my ticket in Melbourne. And yeah, cross your fingers and everything for me for September. There is an official resale that Ticketmaster is doing then. Otherwise, there are a bunch of like parties being thrown in Melbourne that weekend, and like just various Taylor Swift themed events. So at least I will get to play with Swifties. And yeah, I am sure you know, like in the US, what people have been doing who didn't get tickets is just like hanging outside of the stadium, and there's like 10 to 20,000 people outside of the stadium just singing along, having little picnics, dancing, screaming, all the things. So, you know, if worst comes to worst and I don't get to sit inside of the stadium, I will still be there. I will be outside the MCG probably on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, depending on what friends I can take along with me. So if you are going to Taylor Swift in Melbourne, make sure you, you know, come say hi. We can hang out. But and if you have any friends who are going, but they're kind of like, oh yeah, you know, I'm a bit of a fan of Taylor Swift, but don't know too much of her songs, beg them. Beg them to sell me their tickets. They don't need to go. I'm sorry, they don't need to go. I do. I do. Anyway, okay, so that little moment aside, and thank you for all the love and support on you know, not getting tickets. I almost every one of my clients messaged me that day being like, dude, I'm so sorry, which just shows you my clients are the greatest people in the world, and I just love the humans who are in this world and in my world and in this community. You guys all mean the absolute world to me. Okay, so what are we doing today? So I'm recording this a few days early, which, you know, I pretty rarely do. I'm very much a record and then press, like, publish now. Usually on a Thursday evening at like 5 o'clock. So I'm like, today I'm meant to put out a podcast. But it's Tuesday afternoon, and I have been spending the morning doing a little bit of client prep and class prep, and I was like, I'm sick of typing, I want to do some talking. Like, today is not a client day, today is a prep day. And so I was like, yeah, I need to get off these Word documents and do something else, so let's record today. But yeah, you're probably listening to this on Thursday. So today we are talking about Venus retrograde. And you know, before you click off, if Venus retrograde is over, like if you're listening to this like a year in the future or even like 6 months in the future or whatever, this is actually like, so apart from the actual astrology that I'll go over at the start, this is actually going to be an evergreen episode. So this is like, if I do any astrology like themed episodes in the future, I think this, and you know, I refuse to be held to my word at any point, but this is how I'm feeling I'll do it, is that like I'll talk about the actual transit or whatever it is at the start, and then do more of like a theme that is still applicable like long after. So we're going to talk about Venus retrograde, and then we're going to talk about it through the lens of like a practice that I'm doing, and that, you know, I if you feel like it, if you feel so called, you can also play with and put into experience that is really good and really well suited to the energetics of Venus retrograde and the Venus retrograde shadow period, which you're currently in, but it's like a practice that you can do at any time. So that's the plan for today. So the evolutionary astrology reader training is now open. So this is a holistic and multi-dimensional evolutionary astrology training. It is an update and upgrade from the training that I taught for two, three years that has been, you know, completely redone to incorporate all of the practices and philosophies and ways of thinking and stuff that I now work into my practice. So it's no longer just based on the practice of evolutionary astrology. We also talk about, like, we talk about the chart and the charts from a quantum perspective, and how to use quantum mechanics, like, in the practice of astrology. We talk about, we talk about the nervous system and the south node and its connection to the nervous system. We talk about a lot. And we also, you know, if you haven't listened to last week's episode, I spoke about goddess asteroids and working with that. And I've had so much fun, like, you guys sending me what goddess asteroids are at specific parts of your chart and stuff like that. And also just discovering new ones for myself. I think it was Sunday morning. I was just like chilling in bed and I was like, I just want to start going through some more asteroids. So I was like literally going through, I went through like, I think A, B, C, D, E, and F, and just picked and chose, the goddess asteroids that I'm like curious about, like any words, names, whatever that appealed to me, chucked them in, saw where they were in my chart. And I think what I want to do, so that's like alphabetical order. I think what I'd like to do eventually is create like, and I'll probably do it on my Instagram story. So if you're not following me at Relentless Alignment, then come through there. Cause I'm always just having a play on there. You know, those people who just like share every single thought that moves through their head. That's me. Wish I could stop, but I can't. Sometimes I'm like, oh my God, people don't care what you're thinking. And then people do. So, you know, anyway, what I want to do is, I was saying to my friend, I want to create like kind of like themed, like have like an Arthurian, like asteroids. And so I've discovered like there's a Camelot asteroid, there's a Morgana, there's an Arthur and stuff like that. So I was going to see if there's like Lancelot, a Guinevere, like see who's in there and have like all the codes, like all the numbers for the asteroids and just put them like separately onto different slides in my Instagram stories so that you guys can have, you know, you can do like themed readings for yourself and then like the Greek goddesses and like the dark goddesses and different ones, right? So that is something I want to do when I get time / the desire. But what was I talking about? Oh yeah, right, the EA reader training. So we talk about like just working in the goddess asteroids and like healing the feminine using that and all of that as well in the training. But yeah, that enrollment is now open. You can sign up. The link will be in, well, if you go to my Instagram, it's there. If you go to my website, it's there. Or I'll just like do the direct link in the show notes so you can get all the info, sign up. If you are a past student, you get 20% off. Okay. So Venus retrograde. All right. Venus retrograde is a transit, that happens approximately every 18 months or so. And it is happening this year. So it'll kind of like, it'll happen 1 year, then not the next year, 1 year, then not the next year, etc. And it is happening on July 22nd. It's happening in the sign of Leo. We are currently in the shadow period, and a shadow period to a retrograde means that Venus is currently moving through the degrees, so the degrees of the sign Leo, that it will then go back over when it appears to station retrograde and, you know, appears to move backwards. So it's currently going through the part of your chart that it's going to go over 3 times. So the parts of your chart that Venus is going over now, it will go over once when it's going forward, like right now in its shadow. It will then station retrograde it will appear to move backwards over those areas of your chart, and then it will station direct, right? And then it will go over a third time. It will traverse that same territory. So three times totally. So this is an area of your chart. Let me check the degrees. So we're talking from 12 degrees of Leo to 28 degrees of Leo. This is the part of your chart that the retrograde is happening in. This is a part of your chart that is getting a really, really, really big makeover, a really big emphasis in everything that Venus in Leo represents, okay? So you can look at your chart now or later, however you want to do it, and see what's happening in 12 to 28 degrees of approximately, right, give or take, of the sign of Leo for you, right? What house is it in? What area of life does that house represent? And do you have any planets, like any natal planets that are in between 12 and 28 Leo that, you know, it's like, okay, so Venus is going to go over that planet. It's then going to go back over that planet, and then it's going to go over that planet for a third time, right? So that planet or planets is going to get a really good, like, little activation by the frequency of Venus over this next, what is it? It's July 22nd to September 3 are the, like, the actual retrograde dates. But like I said, we're in the shadow, and then after the retrograde, after, like, Venus goes direct, we'll then have another shadow, which is like when it's like going back over those same degrees that it retrograded through, if that makes sense. So the actual retrograde is approximately 6 weeks, but there will be, I think it's like 4 to 5 weeks either side, maybe like three to five. Anyway, a group of weeks either side where Venus is in its shadow. Okay, so you're looking at your chart, all right? And so what motivated me to... Okay, so what is Venus retrograde? Let's start there, right? Any retrograde, any planet's retrograde is asking us to turn inwards, to get reflective, and to kind of turn the energy of that planet into ourselves, right? And into our past. If we think about retrograde and what it means, is it's appears to be moving backwards. So it's saying, like, okay, well, we know that as human adults, we are conditioned, we are shaped by our past, right? Our childhood, you heard of it, you know, all these things that come together to add up and condition us to think the way we do, act the way we do, exist the way we do in the world. And so the retrograde cycles are times when, you know, we're getting this, like, celestial invitation to reflect on the past and how it shaped us into who we are now. If everything is always just, like, you know, full steam ahead, we never get that time for personal reflection. So retrogrades are this period of slowing down in that particular area of life that the planet represents and moving inwards and looking at it for yourself. So when we're thinking about Venus, a huge part of what Venus represents and what I'll focus on today. So while Venus has a lot of other significations and areas of life that it can connect to, but obviously a huge part of what Venus represents in our chart is really connected to our attitude, our needs, our desires, all of that in love and relationships and connection. Romantic especially, but obviously, like, friendships and all that will come into that too, especially like close friends. You know, I wouldn't put, like, acquaintances or, like, bros, under Venus, but, like, your best friends, your close friends, the people that you have that deep love and intimacy with, Venus. And so when this wonderful planet is retrograde, we are being asked, or we have an invitation to move inwards and question ourselves, explore ourselves in this area of life. Now, what made me decide to work actively with this retrograde, and especially during this shadow period, so I'm going to share the practice that I'm doing personally in a moment, was that when I look at my chart, I see that I have Chiron at 22 degrees of Leo. Okay, now Chiron representing our deepest wound, our, like, the most painful part of our chart, really. You know, that wound that, like, every time it's activated, it's like something new just bleeds, you know, it, like, touches that deepest part of us, that most primal pain inside of us, that really questions, right, am I worthy of existing? And especially when this is in Leo, and the sign of Leo is so much about our unique identity, our personality, our, like, authentic expression out in the world. Leo is, of course, ruled by the sun, and the sun is, you know, all about that like shine and that radiance that we put out into the world. And so Chiron in Leo, and if you are also born in like the year 92, and you know, various other points in history, and I believe it's the first half of 93, anyway, I don't know the exact dates, but if you were born around the year when I was born, you will also likely have Chiron in the sign of Leo. And so it's like, yeah, what I'm about to say is true for you as well. but yeah, so I know that there is a good chance, being that Venus retrograde is going to activate this Chiron placement in my chart 3 times over the next, 1, 2, 3-ish months. Well, the 6 weeks of the thingo, but also during the shadow and the in the after and whatever. There is a good chance that I will be getting my like primal wound will be activated by something to do with love and relationships, you know? And that's going to make me question my very like purpose and like very right to exist, and you know, that Leo like self-worth, like that your right to exist as a human and to be seen and to show up and to radiate and all of these things, right? And I'm like, well, that sounds painful. You know, so I'm going to do everything I can to work consciously with this transit so that it's not like bulldozing all over me, right? You know, does it mean that there won't still be pain? No, but I'm going to do everything I can, you know, in my own personal power. I can only control myself. I can only control my own inner world, really. I can't control what happens externally or what other people bring to me. But I can work on myself and my inner world. And this is what a retrograde is saying, right? I can work on myself and my inner world to understand why certain things are coming at me, like what lessons they're there to teach me, and why I respond in certain ways to these external situations, and how I can, you know, like build my own inner self-worth so that it is not as easily like swayed or hurt by things that are happening outside of me. So that's what I saw in my chart. That's what I saw coming up. And that's what I decided to do. And so I made this decision, funnily enough, when there was exactly 21 days left until the Venus retrograde actually starts. So yeah, a couple of weeks into the shadow period. And I was like, I should really focus on this. So I am doing a 21-day like personal challenge to understand and undo and rewrite my own personal planets, personal patterns in love and relationships, right? So this is now where I'm going to talk about like what I'm doing and stuff. So yeah, everyone can do this. I think this is a really, really incredible like challenge or thing to do. This is where I want to speak about manifestation and stuff like that. It's like, okay, there's two sides to manifestation and this process. Half is actually like the like manifesting, like calling things in and you know, writing your list and all those things, and you know, going out into the world and making stuff happen and making changes and all of that stuff. The other half is like the pre-work, right? It is shedding the parts of you that simply cannot receive what you're calling in. And especially when it comes to love and relationships, if you do not do the first half, and if you're just sitting there every day like writing your list or only focused on what you're calling in instead of shedding and letting go of what you cannot take forth into that relationship, and this is true as to whether you are at a point where you are looking to call in like a new relationship or you're looking to just like manifest changes in your current partnership. Yeah, the starting point should always be doing the clearing, right? We are always in such a hurry. And this is something that I think a retrograde really highlights, and also that I've really started working with actively, is that manifestation can take as long as you desire. It can be a long process. It doesn't have to happen overnight. Like, I have been speaking about this on my stories a bit recently, and I want to talk about it more, but you know, time, energy, etc. I'm so sick. I'm so over all the spiritual teachers and people who work in my field and stuff like that, who sell this idea that if it doesn't happen instantaneously, like, then it's not worth it. You know, it's like, make 10 grand overnight or whatever it is. It's like, okay, that's amazing. But that doesn't sound sustainable if you're going from zero to 10 grand overnight. Also, what are you doing to make that happen? Is it in integrity for yourself, for your energy? You know, things take time. And this is also, of course, very true in the area of love and relationships. Like, if you want to go from one day being with, like, someone who treats you like trash and, you know, doesn't value you and all of that, to waking up 3 days later with, like, the love of your life, king, you know, spoils you, treats you, like, what would you even do with that? Would you even know or recognize that person? Would you even be able to hold on to that? Would you be able to even, like, receive and experience that energy? Or would it feel completely overwhelming to your nervous system? And this is why a slow manifestation process, and when I say slow, it's like you get to dictate what slow means to you. Like, for me, like, 8-9 months, like, that real, like, gestation period feels really, really lush to be focusing on this one area of life. And this doesn't mean you can't have, like, multiple like, manifestation areas underway as you go. So this is something that I've said to my You Expanded Version girls, is like, for you, if your like main desire, if your main thing that you're working on is love and relationships, it's like, okay, the version of you that has that is probably going to have a different way of operating in all the other areas of her life, right? How does she approach her health? How does she approach her spirituality? How does she approach money, her career, her friendships, all of that? There's going to naturally be changes and expansions in every area of your life, even if your main focus is one area of life. And I would say, like, you know, 1 to 2 main areas of life is perfect, like, at any one time. So, for example, if I have to, like, well, I'll do this in, like, a personal example, right? So you guys have heard me talking. Oh, I just, like, looked at the timer and it was exactly 22:22. Okay, anyway, back to it. That's my number at the moment. I mean, 22 is always my number, but 2222 is just the vibe. Anyway, so, yeah, you guys have heard me speak over the last, I guess, like, couple of months especially, that I was feeling really, really bored, really, really stuck, really, really stagnant in career. I was bored. There's no other way to put it. I was like, is this what it's going to feel like forever? Because I can't do this. Like, let me go live and work on a peach farm in the middle of nowhere in Australia, because, you know, if I can't get back the same motivation, the same energy that I had for helping and healing people, then why would I do it? And so I started an intensive manifestation process that included both, right? Includes, like, releasing the blocks and the beliefs, and also, like, calling in what I do desire. I started that April. Yeah, it was after I finished in Italy. And just kind of, like, landed in Albania, like, completely burnt out from however many months of travel, and also just, like, stagnant from feeling uninspired. So I started that intensive process then, and I put in about 2 months where my main focus was career and making changes in my career. And then I started to see and feel and experience these changes happening. You know, I felt motivated to get back into podcasting, but to obviously do it in a different way, right? To approach it in a different way. I felt called to start posting and sharing on Instagram more and in different ways. I obviously found the Akashic Records and started working and developing my psychic gifts as well, which felt really new and exciting and added a new flavor and element to everything that I do. I started, what else? There was just, like, changes and shifts that were finally happening, right? So things started moving. And after about 2 months of that, so 3 days ago, that's when I was like, okay, I probably have the time, space, and energy, right? Because you're going to need all of these things for an intensive manifestation process. I have the time, space, and energy to start working actively in a different area of my life. And this is where, like, just seeing the transits, it's like I was organically feeling, oh, this is something I should look at, right? Like, there were a few certain triggers that were coming up in my life where I was just like, why am I like this, right? Like, why is every other area of my life I can feel worthy of receiving in, but when it comes to relationships, I'm like, yeah, bottom of the barrel, men who don't have their lives together, like, men who don't want commitment, all of these things, right? And that's felt really, really intimidating and scary, and I haven't felt ready, or I haven't felt like I have the time, space, energy to look at that before. But suddenly I was like, I do. And so it's like, okay, so I'm still actively working on manifesting and clearing and being conscious with the career area to make sure it doesn't go stagnant again, and to ensure I'm keeping things moving there and showing up in the way that I want to, like that highest, most wonderful version of myself desires to, so that I'm continuously moving towards that next step, that next level, that next thing, right? And so, you know, that might go for a continued, like a period of like 8 to 9 months when I'm like working on that, for example. But simultaneously, I'm able to like loosen the reins a little bit on that, because a lot of the heavy lifting has been done for now. I have had the time, space, energy to put the heavy lifting into this second area of my life. So this is where that first couple of months is really the biggest, like that is the most intense period. That's when you're probably going to want to scream, cry, jump around, jump out of your own skin, because you are really being asked to face and look at some really, really uncomfortable things, right? So whatever area of your life you are manifesting, clearing in, you have to have the wherewithal to stay with it through that first 1 to however many month period. And after that, trust me, it does start to get easier. It starts to feel more natural, and you're building up your nervous system through every challenge that you meet throughout this process to be able to handle more, to be able to hold more, so that the challenges don't feel as difficult. Okay, this episode is going probably a lot longer than I expected to, but I feel like this is important. So just allowing yourself time, space, energy, enjoy the gestation period. So yeah, currently I have these two areas of life, and it's like one is literally just starting, right? One feels quite natural. One, I'm just getting into the flow of working with consciously and noticing my patterns in this area and coming to the root of this area. And they're both happening simultaneously, but I'm not starting them at the same time. I think that's the point I'm trying to make. Like, don't start two areas of life at the same time. Pick the one that feels the most important and work with that. And only once you feel grounded and stable and like that particular area of life doesn't need as much attention, then start to work with the second. Okay. So yeah, all right, when it comes to manifesting a partner, start with yourself, okay? And that is what I'm using this shadow period of the retrograde for, and probably also the retrograde as well. Start inside. You cannot control other people, and you cannot control the universe, right? Like, if it is not time to meet your person, then you will not meet them. If it's not in divine timing, then you won't meet them, or you won't be like, you know, ready to really like commit to that in the way that you feel like you want to, right? So you can't control the universe, you can't control divine timing, and you can't control other people. You know, and that's when, like, if we talk about witchcraft for a second, it's like that's where love spells really do go against a lot of the ethics for certain witches, because you shouldn't. And again, it's like you can have your own personal ethics in your witchcraft practice, but for me specifically, like, I definitely fall in the, like, I do not want to be messing with another person's will, because that can backfire. It can backfire, and it's also like, would you want someone doing that to you? That is shady behavior. I have a lot of past life and current life current life trauma around having my will taken from me, having my personal choice taken from me. I would not wish that on anyone, and that is terrible karma if I do that. So when you like cast love magic on a specific person, you are interrupting the will of that specific person. Whereas if you are doing love magic to like love yourself more, or to, you know, let go of past patterns, or to block toxic people from your life, or whatever it is, that's not interfering with anyone else's will. It's working with your own energy and your own patterns to make the grounds, I guess, the grounds of your life more fertile for being with, receiving, and recognizing that person when they do come in. So that was a little caveat, but yeah, that's where it comes to. Like, you can't control other people, or you don't want to. Well, I don't want to control other people. But you can control yourself. You can control your own mind. You can. And isn't it funny? Wait. Okay, that's so funny that I'm recording on this, because my sister literally just messaged me that she just got a message from her ex. Very Venus retrograde, right? Like past loves coming back around, or past issues coming back to the surface, etc. Anyway, what was I talking about? That is a really, really good question. Right, I have no idea what I was talking about, but just to summarize, you can't control other people, you can't control the universe, you cannot control divine timing. You can only control your own thought patterns and what you accept and what you do not accept, right? Okay, so what you're going to do this process, if you want to do this along with me, right, choose a period of time. So for me, 21 days, right, that's what I'm going with. And as a start point, just start to think about, and the thing is, you probably won't even need to think about it, because they're probably very present, right? If you just reflect on the state of your current relationship and like the issues that keep coming up and what it feels like for you and what it triggers in you, or if you just like reflect on the like last like 2-3 people that you've dated or you've been with or you've been interested in, and how those have felt while they're happening, and also how they ended, right, how and why they ended, then you've already got some, you know, some pretty key evidence as to what are your biggest patterns, your triggers, your beliefs, your thought patterns in love and relationships. Okay, so this is how you notice them. You have to be brutally honest with yourself, right? There has to be an element of, oof, this feels uncomfortable to look at. And yeah, of course they can be like really uncomfortable to look at, but this is where it takes that courage, right? And then once you have these like starting points, right, it's like, what are we working with? What keeps coming up? What do you keep circling into? What are the issues that are most present in your relationship? And then you're going to just take the other person out of it, right? You're going to focus this fully on you. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about a retrograde, right? The outside world should stop existing. Like, not literally, obviously, but for the sake of your inner work. It's like, okay, if you couldn't let yourself blame that emotion, that pattern on an ex or on your current partner, if you had to put the blame for it completely on yourself, what does it mean about you? What does it mean about what you believe, about what you think you're worthy of? What does it mean about the types of people that, or types of relationships that you think are available for you? You know, and you know, this can be tricky, right? This is not for like the faint of heart. You know, because it's, yeah, okay. But there does need to, it's like, this is just one way to work with that. So during this, however many week process, right, again, I'm doing 21 days, do however long you like, you're going to move into an intensive period of shedding, right? Of getting to the bottom of these beliefs, these patterns, whatever they are, again, according to you, your internal world, your role in them, what they're teaching you, why your higher self might be putting you in these situations to teach you, or what karma you might be clearing from them, right? You want to get as much information from your heart, from your brain, from your higher self, from your inner child, whoever, like your guides, right? Your body, whoever and whatever wants to get involved in revealing these patterns and where they come from and what they're giving you as possible, because there's probably not going to be just one root cause. This is I think like what I guess a lot of self-development needs to get its head around, is like you might find the root of something, and yeah, maybe that is a root, but there might be multiple reasons why you would be attracted to this specific situation, why you would call in that specific situation, right? And there are many different viewpoints you can take from this. If you view it from the viewpoint of like your brain, it's like, okay, my nervous system is programmed to think that like we've always been in this kind of love, and so this kind of love is what is safe, so this is what I'll keep gravitating towards, right? So that's when you'll use your nervous system reprogramming to start to see other things, other possibilities are safe. If you view it from the perspective of like your higher self or like your oversoul, however you look at it, then it might be like, well, we have this past life karma with this specific person or this specific type of person, and these kinds of relationships are the ones that you are going to keep getting, you're going to keep being in until you see, recognize the pattern and clear that karma once and for all. And it might take multiple goes to clear that karma once and for all. It doesn't mean you're not making progress. Sometimes when it's really heavy or it's really stuck, there can be, yeah, it can just take a few tries. It can take a few goes to like deep clean, right? So, you know, you want to understand where these patterns come from. So let's use the example, right? Like maybe you keep dating people who won't commit to you, who don't know what they want, are like, yeah, I really like you, but I wasn't really looking for anything serious. And then, you know, you keep like kind of dancing around the situation for like months and months and months, right? Okay, so you need to get brutally honest, ask yourself, right? And this is where like the process of just like not, you know how, you know when you have like close friends and it's like you know them so well that you can tell when they're lying, like when they say, yeah, I'm okay, everything's fine, but you're like, I know that's not true, like stop lying to me, what's really going on? You need to be that friend for yourself. And this takes courage, right? This takes really breaking through and like grit, determination, all of these things. Really breaking through these like beliefs, patterns, things in yourself to like see what's really underneath, right? So what am I trying to achieve by dating people who won't commit to me, right? That might be where you start your questioning. And, you know, use a journal, right? Use a journal so you can see this process like come to life as you break through it. And then you get an answer, right? So maybe the answer is like, well, by dating people who won't commit to me, I get to keep my options open. So next you question yourself, like, why do you want to keep your options open? Or why do you need to keep your options open, right? Whatever feels more relevant for you. And you keep going, right? So whatever the answer is for why you need to keep your options open, right? It might be like, what if someone better comes along? And then it's like, you know, well, what would happen if someone better came along while you're with this person that you've committed to? Then I'd have to break up with them, you know, and that would mean having a difficult conversation. And then maybe you discover that it's just like a fear of having like confrontation, right? Fear of having to have a breakup conversation with someone. And that's what's keeping you from commitment or like making you avoid commitment. And so you know, and once you get to that answer, it's like, well, what would happen if I have this breakup conversation with someone? It's like, they might hate me. They might get angry at me. What would happen if they get angry at me? You know, and then you just keep going. You keep going. You keep going deeper into the why until you have the aha moment, right? There's no way I can explain this except for like, you will know when you've reached the root of the root. Your whole body, your mind will be like, oh my God, that's what it is. That's wild. But you kind of do have to keep pushing. And this is where like, if you haven't done a lot of this work before, or you have never worked with a therapist, or you feel like there's a lot of heavy lifting to do in a particular area, it might be a lot easier to start the process with a therapist or a mentor or a coach or whoever it is, a healer, whoever it is, Because you really do need to push yourself past the barriers that will come up, and having someone that's like, well, what would happen if this? What will happen if this? You're going to get a lot further and you're going to get a lot deeper than if you do it with yourself, because until you have that grit, that determination, that resilience developed for yourself, and until you have that nice, strong nervous system that's able to hold whatever comes up, hold the energy of, oof, I didn't want to admit that to myself, but here it is. You know, I didn't want to be courageous enough to look at this, but here it is. Yeah, that person's going to push you. Or not like push you, but like prod at it. So you don't have to be doing it all by yourself, and you can't like put your barriers up. Obviously, you still can put your barriers up with someone else, but it's like, it's less likely. So then, you know, using this, it's like, so I personally, in my own practice, use a combination of like that sort of thing. So that's like a big holistic therapy technique, is into the why and just like questioning what would happen if this, what would happen if this, what would happen if this. Actually, one of the first like holistic counseling books that I ever read was all about this process. And it's a massive book. It's like a massive textbook. Let me see if I can, I don't think you want to read it. It's like literally thousands and thousands of pages long from memory. But anyway, yeah, it's a big thing. So yeah, my personal practice is like a combo of that, like that just like pushing type of, like for me personally, journaling, or, you know, if you're working with someone else, like, having them ask you question after question, what would happen if this, what would happen if this, and somatic processing, right? So that's going to be like just feeling where the energy lives in your body and moving through that. And also like noticing what is the physical reaction in these situations. So right, if we're using the example above, you know, every time this person says they don't want, like they do love me, but they don't want to commit, what comes up in your body? Okay, so can you be present with your body? What sensations come up? And if it's not safe to do it while you're with that person, like while you're actively like there with that person, and like let those like soften into those feelings, and you know, maybe you get like really, really tense shoulders, or you feel your body like wanting to fight or flee or whatever it is, feel that feeling. And then just like actively soften, right? It takes work. It sounds so simple, but it takes work. Do it later. Like do it later. You can actually call forward, like imagine that situation happening. Think of that situation, right? Because the brain, the nervous system cannot really identify between something that's happening in real time and something you're just reliving in your conscious mind. This is why anxiety and like all of these things have physiological sensations. So you can use this to your advantage. So you can go home, you can be safe in your cozy pajamas in bed, and you can like imagine that situation that happened earlier that day or 3 months ago or 10 years ago, whatever it is, bring it to mind and be really, really conscious what's happening in your body, and soften. Force yourself to soften, right? You are safe. You are safe. Yeah, and you know, it's interesting, like this is what I've found. It's like, I don't know, people can like, and I as well, can give a kind of like hard go at journaling. I don't like journaling without a purpose, right? This is why I like these intensive periods, because I go in to my daily. So that's the other thing. It's like during this intensive period, however long you choose, again, for me, it's 21 days. That feels manageable. And that feels like enough time to really do some heavy lifting. During that period, you work into your morning or evening routine, or, you know, lunchtime routine, whatever works for you. You're going to work into that routine. This time that's set aside to do the journaling, to do the somatic processing of the topic, the beliefs, the patterns you're working on that day. Since I consciously know like, okay, there's a purpose behind my journaling, right? Like I'm not just like sitting there to write what's on my mind, you know? I'm like, cool. Every session I go in with a purpose. I'm like, here's the trigger that I want to work on today. Here's the issue I want to work on that I want to get more clarity on today. And I go into that process, right? That intensive like questioning. and then also, I've also found that journaling has been a lot more useful and like actually provides a lot more use for me since I started doing like somatic processing and nervous system reprogramming and quantum work and all of that stuff as well in combination, because it's like, okay, so you get the answer, you get the belief, and then it's like, okay, but what do I do with that? Okay, so you get to the root of the question and you're like, this is a very interesting belief that I am working with, that my body's holding onto. Where does it show up in my life, and how can I work consciously with my body to let that move through me now, or to like actively soften in those situations when it comes up? So this like processing, this reflecting on your personal beliefs, all of this is happening before you do anything to actively manifest, right? Before you write your list, because here's the thing, okay? So, and if you try this 21-day process, I'm only like, 5 days in? No, not even like 3 or 4 days in. And already I'm like, okay, I can feel things shifting in my personal beliefs, my desires, all of that. How I view myself, all of that. So I wonder if the person I would have like wrote out on a list would be very, very different to the person that I might write out on a list after doing this intensive shedding period, okay? You want to be manifesting from yourself, from your truth, from your authentic desires, not from what you've seen in other people. It doesn't mean that you can't get ideas and inspiration about what you desire from, you know, what's happening outside of you, other people's relationships, Pinterest, Instagram, whatever it is, but the actual desire should come from within and as close to your authentic, truest self as possible. And if your authentic self is completely like covered and hidden, right? Completely hidden by like a bunch of just like patterns and beliefs and low self-worth and all this stuff about yourself, then do you really think that you'll be calling in a person that's like authentically what you desire? So, you know, this is the thing, is that like this kind of manifestation, this more slow burn, this shedding, mixing with like magic, and it's not as glamorous or as sexy as this like overnight 10k mentality, which thank God I think people are waking up to, and it's not sustainable, it's not the best, because again, it's like anything you manifest, you need it to, well, not you need it, but it's gonna feel best if it's in integrity, if you are creating it through integrity. So if you join someone's program, let's say, and they're like, yeah, make 10k in a month or whatever, and you know, you're coming from like a zero point or like a very low point, like 10k is going to be a huge jump. If you're already making like 5k or whatever and you want to change that to 10k in a month, then it's like, yeah, cool, sweet, like you've already got things flowing, it's just like upgrading, right? But if there is like an extreme change that they're promising, it's like, okay, what are they going to ask you to do that might be out of integrity for you in order to like get that result? So while you do want to work with people who are results driven, you know, I'm absolutely results driven in all of my work with clients. Like my intended results with clients are not, okay, I want you to, you know, like manifest instantly, or like, you know, have these like complete like nervous system shocks from this to this. But like my intention, my results would be more the goal of like more authenticity, more integrity, more knowing yourself, more confidence in moving forward, more expansion, less like holding yourself back from yourself. You know how some people have that tendency to be like, yeah, it's like, you know, just comfortable to stay smaller and all of that. And, you know, of course, what happens is people end up having more tangible real world results. But because that's not what I'm advertising, because that's not what I'm selling, I don't feel pressure to tell them to do things that don't feel right for them. in order to like get that result and like prove that my work works. It's like I can see my work work through their more organic process of becoming more authentic, and as a result, what's meant for them coming forward and meeting them. And yeah, it's like, okay, so, you know, let's just say, and what I mean by like people asking you to do things that are out of integrity for you would be, let's say you enroll in this course and it's like manifest, you know, 10K in a month and you're going from zero to 100, right? Then it's like, okay, people might say like, for example, like run a group program or do this specific thing when you've never even like held anything resembling a group program before. And it's not that you can't do it, but it's like running a program with a group is a very different energy to working with someone one-on-one. And a lot of times, you know, not for everyone, but true for a lot of people, is that in order to be able to cater to, you know, like 5, 6, however many people's needs at a time, you need to know through working with people one-on-one what different issues can come up for different people. And this is, you know, something that I've learned and is very true, is that people are not all the same. And when you are doing a group program that has this like kind of generalized, not like generalized, but like set curriculum, let's say, different people are going to interact with that curriculum in different ways. Different people are going to have different issues that come up when working through that work. So it's like, yeah, the work works, but you need to know how different people will respond and react to it so that you're not like, oh, this is how this one person, or how it worked just for me, or how it worked for just this one other client or this one other person, right? That there will be a variety of different ways that your work works on other people, so that you can then, it's like personalized within a group container. To run a group would have been completely out of integrity, and it's like, okay, you might make that 10K, but now you've got to follow through on the promises you made to make that 10K, okay? You need to run that group in the way that you said you would in your marketing. You need to hold the energy in the way that you said you would in your marketing. You need to deliver the results that you said you would in your marketing, right? Do you see what I mean? And so if you don't already have that, I guess, understanding of what you can and can't deliver through what you are selling, then it is out of integrity, right? Because you don't actually know. Okay, that, I feel like that was a little bit of a tangent, and that's something I could talk about till the cows come home. But yes, before you even go into the manifestation, do the work inside to make sure you are manifesting from a part that is a place or a part that's authentic to you. Give yourself time, and all the things. So happy Venus retrograde shadow period. I predict a long hard summer of not entertaining exes who don't deserve us, okay? That's just like a conscious rule. And also like setting our boundaries, right? This is another thing. Then I'll go, I swear, we're nearly at an hour of just me chatting. But this is another thing that's been like, so I'm not going to share much of what's come up in my own personal process, because like I said, like this is very current for me. This is something I'm working through right now. Maybe once I finish this 21 days, or once I feel like integrated in this area, then I'll share more about what came up. But I will share this one thing, is that a consistent theme that's come up through working through like all of the patterns and all of the different beliefs that have been present for me in this area is getting comfortable with just like trusting myself enough to be able to say no, around like men. And so a lot of the like blocks to whatever, will be around you trusting yourself to not settle for what you don't deserve, right? And to say no, when someone is bringing you these patterns that you said you wouldn't accept anymore, right? You have to actually like follow through and be like, okay, that's fine. you know, to again, to bring it back to the example before, that's fine. You're saying you don't know what you want, you don't want to commit, that's fine, but I do know what I want. I know I like you. And so let's just call it, right? Let's call it, okay? And that takes a lot of self-trust. It takes a lot of trust in, like, the universe and, you know, the benevolent being, that there are more people out there for you, or that you'll be fine on your own for however long it takes to come to that person, like, to meet that person who is ready to say, like, yes, I'm ready to commit. But yeah, so a huge part of that is just being able and, like, developing that ability to honor that no and to honor those boundaries and what you will and won't accept. When you're working with, like, a relationship and all of these things, right? This is going to be a huge part, especially for women, because we've been conditioned for thousands of years that we are secondary and our needs, desires, wants, etc. are secondary to men. And so even if in your mind you're like, yeah, I'm totally a strong independent woman, like, I would never let a man tell me what I do and don't deserve or what I am or am not worthy of. It's like, okay, you might think that consciously, but maybe you are communicating something else with your actions, with your nervous system, right? How you hold yourself in these situations. So here's a little question, like, how are you making their, whether your partner is, you know, a man, a woman, whoever, how are you making their needs, desires, etc., more important than yours? And why? Why are you doing that? What are you getting from ranking them before you? And is that what you want to do? Because if that's what you want to do, that's awesome, right? But if it's hurting you, then it's not so awesome. Okay, so that's where I'm going to leave it. 55-55, that's a pretty juicy episode. So hopefully you get some use from this. And, you know, I forgot to let you guys know to go ahead and give me 5 stars on the Spotify app. So if you're still listening, do that now. If you listen and you enjoy the podcast, come chat to me on Instagram. Again, it's at Relentless Alignment. It, like, you know, as a projector, if it's fine, I'll do this till the cows come home. But hearing from you guys that you get some value, that you enjoy the podcast, all of that stuff, it really bumps up that motivation. So to keep showing up and to keep, like, you know, this is an hour of my time, and my energy, right? So it really does, like, bump up that motivation. Like, people are listening, people are enjoying it. So do that and leave a rating and review if you feel so inclined. Otherwise, big love. Enjoy the rest of your day, your weekend, wherever you are, and I'll talk to you soon.